This morning, open your Bible to 1 Timothy 5, 17 through 20. 1 Timothy 5, 17 through 20. And from these verses, I'm going to share a two-part sermon series that I have titled, Help Me, Help You. So that means we will talk about part one this morning, and then next Sunday we'll talk about part two of this message called Help Me, Help You. Now, who is a pastor? Who is a pastor? A pastor is the shepherd of the church. A pastor is a preacher. He is a Bible study teacher. He's also a worship leader. Now, who is a pastor? A pastor is the one who officiates weddings and funerals. A pastor is the one who visits people when they are sick and in need. A pastor also is the one who counsels people who are desperate and despondent. Who is a pastor? A pastor prays for the people and leads prayer meetings for the people. Who is a pastor? A pastor also is the one who is the church custodian. A pastor is also the one who is the maintenance man of the church building. Now, who is a pastor? A pastor is the one who witnesses to the lost, the unsaved, or the unbelievers. A pastor also disciples those people who come to know the Lord Jesus in a personal way. Who is a pastor? A pastor is the one who reaches out to the people who are struggling in their coming to church. A pastor is also a dad, a husband, a provider for his family. Who is a pastor? A pastor is expected to live a life above reproach. A pastor is the one who should be blameless, should not make any mistake, should have an adorable family, should not wear nice clothes, should not wear new clothes, should not be driving a new car. A pastor must always be composed, never loses his temper, never struggles, always smiling, never had a bad day, jack of all trades, always available, and must be working also outside the church to provide for his family. Wow, there is no denying a pastor's job is none like other. A pastor's job is hard to compare to any other job. No wonder majority of pastors are discouraged, 84%. Their marriages are in trouble, 70%. And their children resent or dislike the church, 80%. No wonder also 1,500 pastors quit church every month. Now, why would these things happen to a pastor whose intent is simply to help people? Well, of course, one of the reasons that this discouragement and despondency come to a pastor is because people like to criticize pastors. Instead of appreciating the pastor for what a pastor would do, they negatively criticize a pastor. Long sermon, boring sermon, inefficient, not loving enough, not caring enough, not available enough. But the truth is, most pastors are actually enduring. In other words, when you're in the ministry, you have to be thick-skinned. And so most pastors are thick-skinned. They're actually not going to quit because somebody negatively criticized them. But do you know the number one reason why pastors quit their church? Because his church doesn't help him help them. Because his church doesn't help him. And yet throughout the Bible, and we all believe in the Bible, don't we? All throughout the Bible, God provided helpers or supporters to his chosen ministers, to his spiritual leaders, to his shepherds. For instance, Moses had his elders. David had his 400 men. Daniel had his friends. Even the Lord Jesus had his 12 apostles and other followers. The Apostle Paul had his supporters like Mark and Luke and Timothy and Titus and Aquila and Priscilla and many others. So God would always send helpers and supporters to his chosen ministers. But as awkward and selfish as it may sound, I need you to help me so I can help you. I need for you to help me help you. Now, I'm not complaining here. I'm not griping about the lack of help. Certainly not. I just want you to realize, and we will see it also in our text that we're going to read in a few minutes. I just want you to realize the church life, church ministry, is a partnership. It's a partnership between the pulpit and the pews. It's a partnership between the shepherd and the sheep. It's a partnership between the pastor and the church. There's no doubt. If I ask you, as how can your pastor help you? You know exactly the answer. How can my pastor help me? I know without a doubt you know what to say. But how do you help your pastor? Now, Timothy. 1 Timothy 5, 17 through 20 would enlighten us a little bit more. So let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. 1 Timothy 5, 17 through 20. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, "Do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. Those who sin are to be rebuked publicly so that the others may take warning." You may be seated. Now let's look at the context of what we read here in Timothy. Now, the book of Timothy is actually a letter. Paul is the one who wrote to Timothy two letters. Henceforth, we call it 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Now, Timothy is actually a pastoral letter, which means it is a letter from a pastor to a pastor. Pastor Paul wrote to Pastor Timothy, who was then the pastor of Ephesus Christian Church. Now, here in the letter of Paul to Timothy, if you read it, you will see how Paul warns Timothy about false teachers. He's basically saying it's not because they come to church, they are Christians. Some of them are just there to aggravate the people in the church, the real Christians, or to disturb the fellowship in the church. But he also, I love this part, he also encouraged him, don't quit your church. Stay put. Press on. Don't quit. No matter how negative criticisms you would hear, stay in your church. Then he also tells him or teaches him how to handle the affairs or the matters in the church. In other words, how to handle the church business. But then here, as we end in chapter 5 and 6, you will see there how Paul also himself, Pastor Paul, instructed Pastor Timothy, make sure to teach your church how to take care of you. Henceforth, look at verse 17. He said, once again, as awkward, as selfish it may sound, a pastor must teach his church how to care for him, for the pastor. Look at verse 17. The elders. Now, that doesn't mean the senior citizens of the church. He's not talking about the older people, you know, those who are in their 90s and 100s. Now, if you're just 80 and below, you're still young. But he's not talking about that. He's not talking about that. He's talking about elders as pertaining to pastors. Because the word elder from the original language of the New Testament, which is Greek, is presbyteroi, which means pastors or shepherds or overseas or elders, as here in NIV tells us. But notice it says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well. Now, what's that supposed to mean? In other words, a pastor who directs the affairs of the church well. Now, that phrase literally means this: a pastor who rules well, a pastor who leads well, a pastor who pastors well, okay? If a pastor is doing his job, what's there to it? Look at what he said. Are worthy of double honor. So a pastor who directs the affairs of the church well, who leads and rules and pastors well, are worthy of double honor. And I look it up in the original language of the New Testament, once again Greek, and that word double, means twice, means greater. So that means anyone in the church, if there's anyone who should receive double honor, twice the honor, or greater recommendation, or rather commendation, or reward, or wage, it would be the elder or the pastor of the church. He deserves double honor. Why? Look at verse 18. Because the worker deserves his wages. True. And the Lord Jesus affirms this in Luke 10:7 when he said and commanded, for the worker deserves his wages. The Apostle Paul repeated himself as he tells the Christians in Corinth, take care of your pastor. How? 1 Corinthians 9:14. The Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. So if your pastor is directing the affairs of the church well, then he deserves double honor. Now, but the question is this, but does my pastor deserve or worthy of double honor? Now, look at what he said. He is. Your pastor deserves or worthy of double honor if he directs the affairs of the church well. Now, but that's tough, isn't it? But how would they know? I mean, that's kind of hard to gauge. What's the basis? What's the criteria that I could say, okay, my pastor is directing the affairs of the church well. He's pastoring well. Versus, well, I'm not quite sure if my pastor is ruling or pastoring well because I only come once a week if I could. That's why I'm missing Easter already. I wish it's Easter every Sunday. Because last Sunday, I mean, our church was packed. But what happened? But nonetheless, that perhaps would be another sermon in and of itself later on. You don't want to say anything bad about those folks. But nonetheless, what would be the criteria or the basis? Well, Paul tells us, a pastor is worthy of double honor, watch this now, if those or those whose work is preaching and teaching. Ah, there it is. So that means a pastor deserves double honor if he is working hard. That's what it literally means. Work is, it literally means to labor to the point of fatigue or exhaustion. So if the pastor is working so hard in preaching and teaching the Word of God, then he deserves double honor. Now, Paul did not say, if he cares well, if he's always available, if he visits you, if he cleans the church well, or if he texts you well, or if he has another job outside the church, then he deserves a double honor. He didn't say that. He said, those who work, his preaching and teaching, they are worthy of double honor. So that means if your pastor is working so hard in preaching and teaching, then God says to us, to you, then give him double honor. Which simply means this: help him, help you. That's what he's saying here. Help him, help you. So he can continue what he's supposed to do, and that is to teach and preach the Word of God. Why? Because that's the first and foremost primary main responsibility or duty of a pastor, is to preach and teach the Word. The pastors in Jerusalem said the same thing. Look at Acts 6:4. We will give ourselves continually, Acts 6:4, I don't have it, I guess. But nonetheless, the pastors there said this, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. So that means they're saying our job, first and foremost, is to prepare, to plan, to preach, to proclaim the Word of God. That's our responsibility. So that means if you think that your pastor is working hard in preaching and teaching the Word, that means you know that he is praying, you know that he is planning, you know that he is preparing, you know that he is practicing, you know that he is proclaiming, then God says he deserves double honor, which simply means this, help him. Why? Verse 18 is actually Deuteronomy 25:4. For the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox. Now, what's that supposed to mean? Muzzle is, you know, the strap or the bits or any hindrance that you would place to or in front of an ox, a bull, a cow, right? Why? Because if you put any strap or bits or hindrance to the cow, then the cow won't be able to tread out the grain, meaning the cow won't be able to plow the field. Well, of course. I mean, who would, in the right frame of mind, put a hindrance to a plowing bull? Well, no one, besides you, going to get hurt if you be the hindrance to a bull, because the bull's going to run you over. But no one would, because that's the responsibility or the job of the bull or the cow, is to plow the field. If you put any hindrance there, then that means the ox won't be able to do its job. Same thing with the pastor. Don't muzzle your pastor. In other words, don't create any hindrance to him. Don't create any interruption to him. Allow him to have the study time and preparing and proclaiming the Word of God, because that's his main responsibility. It makes sense. And let's put it this way, in a practical sense. How could a pastor preach and teach the Word? And every time I say those two words, I meant how could he study, plan, prepare, practice, and proclaim the Word of God if he still has to pick up someone so that someone can come to church? Hear me out. How could the pastor be able to work hard in his preaching and teaching when he still have to clean the church? How could a pastor work so hard in terms of preaching and teaching the Word of God when he still has another job to do outside his work at the church so he could provide for his family? Or a more simpler practical hindrance would be this. How could a pastor work hard even more in preaching and teaching the Word when he still have to call a person who did not make it to church that Sunday just to say hi and hello when the church folks could have easily done so? So the thesis is this. If you think that your pastor is doing a good job in terms of preaching and teaching, give him double honor. But if not, don't give him anything. Because you can tell. Can you not, as a person listening, because I've been in your situation, you can tell if the pastor is prepared or not in his preaching or teaching. You can tell. You can see. You can know. You can hear. You can tell that he's struggling there. You know, you can tell that, oh, that pastor didn't prepare, you know, because he's going all over the place. You know, he's chasing rabbits right and left. You could tell, you know, just like this pastor, while during their praise and worship time, you know, singing time in the church, the pastor was praying and praying. And he's praying, God, give me the word. God, give me a sermon. God, give me a sermon. The song is almost over. God, give me a sermon. Give me a sermon. Give me a word. Because he did not have time to prepare during the week. So after the singing, so it was his turn to preach, to speak. And that's when the Lord's word finally came to him. And God said to him, you're lazy. True. Because you can tell if the person is prepared or not. Once again, if you think your pastor is working hard in his preaching and teaching and sharing with you the word, help him. Help you. How do you do that? How do you do that? How can you help your pastor so your pastor can continually help you? Well, I'm going to borrow some suggestions from Pastor H.B. Charles. He's a pastor of a church in Florida. After reading his book on pastoring, I saw it, and he calls it the seven ways for a church to encourage its pastor. I'm going to borrow some of them, but not all of them, but I'm going to tweak it a little bit to make it fit and be formatted to our church setting. So borrowing from him, what I'm going to do is there are seven of them. Today we're going to be talking about two of those ways that you can help your pastor or serve your pastor as he serves you. And then next week we'll talk about the other five ways. What's the first one? The seven ways to help me help you. The first one is prayer. 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 More than anything else, I hope you're praying for your pastor on a regular basis, on a daily basis. I hope that you're praying for him because the best way you can help your pastor is to pray for him regularly. The Bible tells us this throughout the Word. Romans 15, 30 and 31. Colossians 4, 3 and 4. 1 Thessalonians 5, 25. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1. Do you know that I pray for you daily by name? I know exactly where you're sitting. I know exactly where you're at the church when you come. And I pray for you daily, if not regularly, by name. Why? Why do I pray for you daily or regularly by name? Because the best ministry that I can give you, the best way I can serve you, is to pray for you. Why? Because God can do a much better job helping you than me helping you. It's the same thing. Pray for your pastor. Pray for him regularly because the best way you can help him is to pray for him so he can continually pray for you, so he can continually minister to you, and he can continually share the word with you. Pray for him. Now, what should I pray for my pastor? Pray for his safety and health. Imagine if he's in a wreck or sick, well, how could he come to church and preach and teach the word? Pray for his family, for their well-being. Because if the pastor's family is not in good shape, then how could the pastor come and preach and teach the word? Pray for him that he will not fall into temptation, that he will not sin or fall into sinful distractions. Pray that your pastor will have an open heart, open soul, open spirit to understand the word of God so he can correctly explain it to you. As the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. And you and I would agree, especially if you are a new Christian, that it's not easy to understand the Bible. It's not that you just pick up the Bible and you start reading the Bible and you say, aha, light bulb moment, I got it. No, you don't. Why? Because God's word is God's word. It's not our word. Now, I don't know if you have thought of it this way before. The Bible in your hand or even on your phone is God's property. Now, think about this for a second. I don't know if you have realized this before. The Bible is the very heart, the very being, the very thought of God. You say, oh, well, I have several Bibles in my bookshelf at home. Well, perhaps, but nonetheless, the content is still God's property. It's not ours. It's His. And I don't know about you, unless you have the mind of God and you have the Spirit of God, there's no way you can just pick up a Bible and read it and understand it. That's why you should be praying for your pastor to be Spirit-filled with open eyes so he can correctly explain the Word of God. The same thing as when you open a Chinese book. And the Chinese book is written in Mandarin or in Cantonese language. And you here you are, the only language you speak is English or Spanish or Tagalog. And so now you don't understand Chinese. So what do? You have to find someone who understands and knows the Cantonese or Mandarin languages who could explain this to you. It's the same thing. You pray for your pastor to be Spirit-filled so he could explain the Word well. You have to pray also for him to have time to study. Time. Pray that God, I pray that my pastor will have time to study and prepare for a sermon. Because I don't know if you realize this, a pastor is always being attacked by Satan every single day. He's always under the radar, and always the enemy's always got his bow and arrow and ready to shoot on that pastor all the time. He would send his demons and the other partners of Satan. Why? So your pastor would be tripped up. So he would be tripped up so he would not have time to prepare for a sermon. And here you are, you come Sunday morning, right? You're excited to come this Sunday's morning. I hope that you do. And you're ready to receive some good word from the Lord, right? Just like the song we sang earlier, let the word of God speak. You come to church and you're excited. And you're saying, I want some good old fried chicken word of God. You know, I want some good old ribeye word of God. And so here you are, you got your Bible, you sat there in your chair, and you're ready to hear the word of God from your pastor, whom you're assuming had prepared a sermon, and then all he gave you are crumbs. Crumbs. Leftovers. You know, one of those old recycled sermons of his. I heard that before. That again? Good night. So that suppresses your appetite, and you're so hungry for the Word of God, and He gives you those boring, long, didn't make any sense sermons. Why? Probably because he did not get to prepare. Probably because he did not have time to study. Why? He got attacked. He got shot by the enemy. So I think the best way that you help your pastor is you pray for him. The best way you can help me, pray for me. Because that's the only time I can be Spirit-filled so I can understand the Word of God. That's the only time I can be covered by the blood of Jesus so I will not fall into sin. That's the only time that the angels of the Lord will be protecting me so I will not be falling from the attacks of the enemy. And that's the only time God will provide His grace so I can share the Word with you. Second is, understanding. You can help your pastor by being understanding of him. Meaning show some compassion. In other words, be considerate, be accepting, be forgiving, be thoughtful. Understand that your pastor is not God. Understand also that your pastor struggles also, just like you. He gets discouraged. Understand that he gets depressed too from time to time. How about this one? Understand that he doesn't have it all together all the time. He just doesn't. Understand that he cannot be available all the time. Understand that he cannot meet every single person's spiritual need. Understand also that when he's preaching the word, he's not picking on you. When you feel like the pastor is talking to me right now. Oh, he's looking at me right now. Oh, man, I wonder which spy he sent to my house so he would know everything I did during the week. Got to be something. I was tapped. No. You know what you call that? When you're feeling it right here in your gut, that's the Holy Spirit of God saying, change your way that way. Make sense? You have to understand that your pastor makes mistakes. In my case, just ask Irene and my kids. I do make mistakes. And who doesn't make any mistake? There's only one, right? God. No, actually, there's another person. Can you believe that? There is, besides God, there is another person who doesn't make any mistake. And who is that person? A person who says nothing, does nothing, and being nothing. And that cannot be your pastor. Why? Because your pastor loves to say something, always doing something, and always being into something. And therefore, he's prone to make mistakes. Pray or understand that he makes mistakes. Also, your pastor, understand, needs time off also. He needs R&R. He needs vacations. I was so broken when I was meeting with a pastor from another church and a pastor from one of the church plants that we're helping, and they were so bothered because the church members are mad when the pastor is not there or if he's not preaching. They see him as being lazy. But pastors do need time off. They get tired too. They get exhausted. Understand that he needs time to study. Understand that he needs time to prepare for a sermon or for a lesson. But also understand this. And if there's only one thing you will take home from this message, I hope this would be it. So pay attention now. This is the time you can wake up now. This is it. Understand that a pastor needs time alone with God. Why? Because that's the time that he presents you and represents you before God. In other words, when the pastor is alone, he is alone with God on your behalf. He needs time alone with God, so you must understand that. Hebrews 13:17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. So while I was driving on I-20 eastbound, coming home from work, my eyes were directed toward this billboard on my left-hand side. You know, there at 820 and 287 split, if you're heading to Dallas or Arlington from 820 into 20, on the far left side, there is a billboard there on top of the tree plant store overlooking Lake Arlington. And for some reason, I've noticed a big sign there that says 911 emergency. Big deal, right? We know that. Why pay? No, what's important there was the message underneath it. It says, help 911, help you. And I thought, what in the world? How could I help 911 when they're supposed to help me, right? And then so what did I do? I Google it. So I did a little research and I found out that to help 911 help you, you must follow certain ways. One, answer all their questions. That means when you call 911 and say, well, how can I help you? You answer all their questions. Second, don't hang up the phone. Don't hang up. And then third way is you follow all their instructions. So that means if they tell you sit down, you sit down. If they tell you to stand up, you stand up. When they tell you to run, you run. Okay? Then I was thinking of that, and then it occurred in me, God just confirmed his message that he wants me to share with you. And that is, in order for me to help you, help me help you. So that's kind of got the validation, because the same thing. If we follow certain ways, then the pastor will be able to serve you as he serve you, as you serve him. Then that means he will be able to help you as you help him. Make sense? So that means next Sunday, we're going to continue with the other ways that we can help the pastor help you. Or here in our context, ways that you can help me help you. Let's pray.